Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
From downtown Toronto, this is Hockey Central at noon. The Toronto Maple Leafs jumped all over the Washington Capitals on the weekend. The Winnipeg Jets stopped their losing streak, and the Calgary Flames trying to muddle their way through a road trip that may have saved their season. Those stories, along with Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid, still to come. It's Hockey Central with Darren Millar, joined in studio today by former Atlanta Thrasher Colby Armstrong and the former general manager of the Newmarket Saints, Gord Stellick.
How was it spinning records at whatever you were at, WJOH or something? No?
CJVR.
Okay, CJ, whatever. There you go.
I was never news. I was never DJ, though. No? I was news, farm reports, all that
tell.
Kind of stuff. Gerard Gallant is out in Florida. We will get to that right off the bat and then filter in the rest of the league news throughout this show. But Gerard Gallant, a year after taking the Florida Panthers back to the playoffs, losing a spirited first-round series against the New York Islanders, Gerard Gallant, he of a record one game over 500 in the modern day, 10-11-1, 2 points out of a playoff spot, but is relieved of his duties last night after a loss against the Carolina Hurricanes. With all due respect to Gerard, this is no real surprise because the writing was on the wall.
The word relieved may be apropos for Gerard Gallant. You know, as he was hustled out of town in that cab, which are hard to get in Carolina. I mean, that's
in the middle of nowhere.
Explain that story.
Well, the part being is that they start a 6-game road trip, and then granted, they blow a 2-goal lead, which probably ticked everybody off, and Tom Rowan that, whatever. So the straw that broke the camel's back, I think, was going to be the next loss. But this was a perfect one. So rather than, say, letting him go before the 6-game road trip or letting him fly to Chicago with the team, having a meeting, calm this morning, and fly home, basically he was given adiosville. And
right after the game.
Right after the game. Yeah. And so the team goes on the bus to catch a plane, and the Carolina, pictures of Carolina people helping him try to get a taxi, which I know it's not easy to get taxis, maybe around the arenas a little bit. So he was unceremoniously dumped, put it that way. And I don't know, you do what you do, or whatever. You can take issue with that or not. I think it's something you don't want to. I think it's a bad perceptual thing, a bad optical thing. But the fact was, he was going to get fired regardless. We knew that in the summer. He was not necessarily going to be the first coach to be fired, but he was definitely going to be fired because he was out of tune with what the organization, you see there if you're watching on TV, basically packing the cab and his right-hand man, Mike Kelly, doing the same, out of tune with the direction of the organization. So they were looking for that, and now it's up to them to see what they can do.
We know Gerard Gallant, but only one person in this room has played for Gerard Gallant. So Colby Armstrong, just tell us what your memories are, perceptions are of playing for him.
Well, I could tell you this also. Every guy on that team is upset about that. I had him as world championships. We won a gold medal. He was the assistant coach for us for Team Canada in Moscow. I think it was in 2008. And then during the lockout shortened season in Montreal as assistant coach also. Great coach, good guy, great to deal with.
How do you think this is playing out with the players on the Florida Panthers?
Yeah, I don't think they're taking it too well, to be honest with you. I think they're upset. I think it's going to be a tough ship to write right now with that group. And, we'll see. I think Tom Rowe will have a challenge in rallying the guys around this. But, we'll see. But
how many times have you gone through a coaching change?
One time.
What was it?
During the season. Ron Wilson.
Okay. And what
it was on the road also. We were in Montreal. Mm-hmm. I actually saw Ron in the elevator going down. I was going to dinner with my agent at the time with a couple other players on our team. And we got a text to come back halfway through our steak dinner to come back to the hotel that Ron had been let go. So and we did get to finish our dinner.
I'm just curious. How did that play out? And I'm sorry about the dinner. But how did that play in the room?
Yeah, we were we had meetings before, and we kind of knew that the writing was on the wall if we didn't start playing better or getting wins or things started going a little better. But at the time, it was kind of expected at the time, to be honest, just because the way it had been going.
My memory of that was people weren't running to Ron Wilson's defense. Like, you guys
Well, the 18-wheeler.
You were ready for a change.
And he didn't talk to the media ever.
Right.
Just went.
Mm-hmm. This is different.
Yeah, I feel this is different. And the one thing that really bothers me about the way this was, and I can't really remember, I'm sure the Leafs put out a media notice or something. They made a statement or something, but we had, you know, Elliot and Nick reporting on the interim head coach position. And I was up till 2 a.m. last night checking Twitter, which was a firestorm on Twitter, by the way. And there was nothing. They didn't say anything until 9:30 this morning. They put out a release that Tom Rose, interim head coach. I just think that's, I don't know. I don't think that was handled well at all. That's what makes me sour.
Let's bring in Elliot Friedman from the NHL and Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. I don't remember a decision that the hockey world in general has been so one-sided on. Usually there's maybe it's 70-30, but this really feels like 95-5, and I'm having trouble finding the 5.
Well, you know what? I think if you go online, Darren, and you search for some of the people that cover hockey from a numerical, analytical perspective, you'll find people that support the move, because Florida is one of those teams that really believes strongly. They might be the most analytically or numerically inclined front office in the National Hockey League. So some of the people that know them or know what kind of research they do, those are the people who support the change. But you're right. Like, there's no question. Like, last night, I wasn't the only one searching around and watching up late, like Colby wasn't the only one. And I was getting for texts from people that I don't normally hear from, and they were mad. I mean, it's very rare you see a coach with that record get fired.
But, you know, the other part is, and this is the next step in the challenge for Tom Rowe and everybody else, and I agree. I thought it was mishandled terribly. But Michel Therrien was panned in Montreal. Nobody was panned more than Daryl Sutter's hiring in Los Angeles and won two Stanley Cups. So we can talk a lot, and we will, about Gerard Gallant. But ultimately, Elliot, the challenge is, okay, Tom Rowe's just been waiting. This has been a move waiting to happen. You got to deliver the goods on the ice, and that remains to be seen.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? You're right. I mean, ultimately, the Florida Panthers and their management, they have, at the end of the day, we're going to see where this goes at the end of the year, and that will determine whether or not this move was a success or not. I tell you, though, Gord, it's not going to be an easy start. You know, the team flew last night to Chicago. They had one of those mandated days off today. And, you know, they wanted to have a meeting today with the players, and I'm not sure they can. Like, that's kind of how weird this whole thing is. The players have a right to say no. And, you know, I'm sure the leadership group or something will have a meeting. But this is a team, a group of players that were an absolute shock last night. Now, they knew that there was a problem between Gallant and management. I don't think players are blind or deaf. They know when things like that are happening. They saw what was going on with some of the changes to their team, and I think that they weren't naive to know that there wasn't an issue. But I don't think they thought it was going to happen now, particularly when you look that they're very much in the playoff race despite a couple of really bad injuries.
Elliot Friedman with us on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, and Colby Armstrong. So if we get through today and the team doesn't meet with Tom Rowe, that becomes a story.
It does. It sure does. You know, I'm sure there will be some level of contact, whether it's the leadership group or the whole team or whatever. But you're right, Darren, if they don't meet, it's a story. They love Gallant. The players really liked him. You know, not every team likes their coach. They really enjoyed playing for him. you know, I think, you know, to me, like, I think the whole front office is going to be interesting there now. Tom Rowe can't be the GM. You can't be the GM and the head coach. They said that in their announcement today that change is being made, but I think behind the scenes you'll see Eric Joyce and Steve Warrior, who are both assistant general managers. Joyce handles Springfield of the American Hockey League as one of his key duties. I think they will become more influential in terms of making decisions. And, you know, today in their media release, Dale Tallon was the guy at the top of it. You know, Tallon's been kind of moved to the side there. But I think he's going to – it's going to be interesting. I can see – sorry if I cough. I can see a situation where, you know, they need Tallon because the players know him. And he brought a lot of them there. And, you know, he might be needed – they trust him. I think he might be needed to smooth some of this out in the short term.
Credibility, right? With the media and the players.
With credibility with the media and the players. And today, on a very tough day, like, I'm sure, like, guys like Vinny Viola, Doug Cifu, those guys there, they've never been through the media grinder like this. And it's not easy. Like, if you've ever been, and Colby is a player, and Gordy is an executive, you know what it's like to be in the meat grinder. It's especially for the first time, you're like, holy smokes, like, what the hell just happened to me here? And I'm sure those guys are looking at everything that's being written and said about them today, and they're like, okay, how do we navigate this? And you've got a Dale Tallon there, and you've got a Peter Lukow there, who's a pretty seasoned executive, and you're going to need those guys to get you through this. I think if you're Florida and you're going this route, you have to trust that you're making the right decision. I mean, there's no point in being an organization if you're not. But you need people to get you through this because you're going through a grinder, and it's not easy to do it.
Well, Doug Cifu is a minority owner of the Florida Panthers, and he's had his run-ins with Doug McLean over the years, last couple of years. And then last night, again, on Twitter, going back and forth between the two of them. So, yeah, everybody should just take a deep breath here. Involved in this because it kind of got out of hand.
Hey, Elliot, one thing that has not been substantiated, I'm curious, because a lot of things out there that the players may have been present when he got fired, that it may have been a kind of thing that it was done so quickly after the game that you talk about being in shock. Have you heard anything like that?
The way I heard it happen, Gordo, was he went out and he did his scrum with the media in Carolina, and actually the two Panthers beat reporters were not on the trip. And then afterwards, he was told. Now, I haven't been told that happened in front of the team, but I do know it spread like wildfire.
When the coach doesn't get on the bus after the game, it's pretty solid indication that something's
happening. How much of this had to do with his coaching and what they saw, and how much of it had to do with kind of the writing on the wall and what has been going on over the summer and kind of their direction with ownership and the management?
I think it's all that, Colby. Look, like, you know, you don't get when you can argue about whether or not the team had a higher shooting percentage, or than maybe a normal team would. You can argue about all of that. The fact is, in sports, when coaches have that record, they don't get fired. Okay, it doesn't happen. So you can look at it and say maybe. Because I know I was reading some of this morning that, you know, some of the players shot better than normal and he was the beneficiary of luck. I don't like that. I think you need luck to win. And Gerard Gallant had respect to those players. And the fact is, if it was so easy, you know, Florida would have gone to the playoffs more often when he wasn't there. So I'm not buying any of that stuff. What I do buy is that the organization has a philosophy. And he just disagreed with that philosophy. I wrote this morning about they had a very small trade a couple weeks ago. Logan shot Anaheim for Michael Scarbosa, and even that was a deal that was a battle between Gallant and the front office because Gallant valued Shaw, and the front office really liked taking the idea of taking a chance on Scarbosa as a 24-year-old guy who scored really well in junior. So I think what it was is, and also, Gallant didn't like the Gudbranson trade. He really loved Gudbranson and what he brought to the team. I know Gudbranson loved playing for him, too. There were two things, Colby, that happened in the last week I think were big issues, too. He talked about how Radko Gudas took a run at Trocheck last Tuesday in Philadelphia, and he was mad that there was no response. He felt that his team was easily pushed around. And the other one was last night, so last week, when Bjugstad came back, they sent Jared McCann to the minors because they didn't want to lose Seth Griffith on waivers. They really want to see what Griffith had. And last night, Griffith was on the fourth line with Kyle Rau and Derek McKenzie. And please don't take this as a shot at Rau and McKenzie. I mean, they're NHLers and they're good players. But it's just not a fit with Seth Griffith. And when I saw that last night and I saw that line, I remember thinking, boy, that's not going to fit with the philosophy of the front office. I just think at the end of the day, Colby, that was the issue, that they weren't on the same page. It wasn't going to change. Both sides were on their side, and that was it. And, you know, I think Gerard Gallant, like, being fired sucks. It's the worst. But I think in the long run, it's going to be better for him because he will land on his feet, and this was not the right situation for him.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody has issue with an owner or hockey operations making a decision on a coach.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. It's how it happened. It's the fact that everybody assumed it was going to happen, and then you're ultimately right, and it's on the road, and the guy's getting into a cab, and it's the optics of it. But now that Viola and Sifu and Rowe and Joyce have sort of got what they wanted, changing players, changing the training staff, changing everything, now mm-hmm. the coach, how much pressure is on this group?
Well, they're in the line now, right?
Yeah.
Like, Talon's still there, but he's not, he doesn't have as much influential. They made big changes to their scouting staff last year. Scott Luce, Aaron Janelle.
Yep.
Both went out. Now Gallant and Mike Kelly, who's a guy who's very loyal to Gallant. They've been friends for a long time and was a very trusted lieutenant of Gallant. He's gone now. I mean, there's, you're right there. And it's, you know, that's what I think, like, saying to Darren, like, I'm sure those guys in the last 12 hours, 20, for the last 12, 15 hours, I mean, it's the first time they've ever been really exposed to that. And I'm sure they're sitting there and they're going, wow, like, this is, you know, this is what it's like. And that's why I think, you know, you go through it the first time and, like I said, it can really shred you. So now it's their vision. And it's going to be their way, and they're going to have a coach that's going to buy into it their way, and we're going to find out if it's going to work. But it's them now. Like, you can't say our problem was our coach wasn't buying into our way anymore because he's not there.
No, absolutely. And, you know, to speak of the coach, like, years ago, St. Louis gets off to a slow start. Ken Hitchcock comes in. Last year, Columbus, John Tortorella comes in. Like, one of these guys that are on the sidelines. Tom Rose just seemed like this was fait accompli. I don't even know why they didn't do it in the offseason. Maybe it got screwed up because they had success and won a playoff round or something. So, I mean, do you think there's anybody else out there, or Tom Rowe is the guy and he's going to go forward for a while, even though they have the interim tag on him?
I think it's going to be him. I think he's going to be the guy. Because, you know what? I think that this is going to be a collective approach. Like, everybody hates when you compare everything to Moneyball, but one of the things in Moneyball was Billy Beane believed that based in the lineup that he put together, he should be able to say, this is how our lineup would work best. And at times, he and Art Howe, who was the original manager, they really chafed with each other over that. I think this is going to be, Gord, this situation where Tom Rowe knows that this is the way the organization approaches things. This is what's going to be expected of him, and he's going to take whatever suggestions are made, and he's going to implement them. And so I see, and like you said, Gord, this rumor's been out there that he would be the guy at some point, and I think it was there for a reason, because I think they knew that he was more amenable to this kind of a plan than Gerard Gallant was. So I think he's going to be the coach for at least the rest of this season, and they're going to see how it works.
I am looking forward to this from a pure analytics point of view, because for the first time, Elliot, Gord, Colby, we have everything in place.
Mm-hmm.
You have the coach, you have the general manager.
Everyone got their players.
You got the scouting staff. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on board with analytics. It's not Arizona's got Dave Tippett, and there's like two ways to look at it there. There's other organizations that have analytics guys. Most organizations have, if not all of them. But now this is an organization that's purely, solely basing their stuff on analytics. How's it going to work? That's the part that fascinates me.
And you know what, Darren? I agree with it from that point of view. I'm tired of people fighting about it online.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a gigantic eye glazer, and I just don't even pay any attention to it anymore. You know, there's a book. As a matter of fact, it's on my list of books to read, and now because of what happened last night, I'm starting to read it today. It's by a guy named Ben Lindberg, who used to work for Fangraphs. I think actually he might be back there. He working for Fangraphs, which is a baseball website, very smart website. And I can't remember the name of the book, but if you Google Ben Lindberg, you'll find it. And basically, he and a friend ran a minor league baseball team largely through their analytic belief. And it was recommended to me. I'm now starting to read it because I think it's going to give me an idea of how Florida is going to approach things. So these guys did it, albeit at a much smaller level. It was like a low minor league team. And I'm sure the ideas, if not the scale, is going to be similar to what we're going to see here. And, you know, I think Arizona's a little different. Yes, John Chyka's got an analytic bent, but who's making the calls there still? In a lot of ways, Dave Tippett. So I think there's both. This is going to be the closest thing that we are going to see to analytics dominating your decisions. So like you, I think I'm very curious to see how it goes. I think today, like, there's a lot of coaches and executives who are mad today. There's no question about that. And there are people who really want to see this fail. We are going to find out how it goes.
The Only Rule is the name of the book. Is It Has to Work. I know that doesn't really make sense, but Is It Has to Work, Our Wild Experiment Building a New Kind of Baseball Team by Ben Lindberg and Sam Miller. Name of the book. Enjoy the read. I think I might join you on that one. Go to the library, pick it up. Spend some nice
library.
Do they have that on audiobook?
Oh, library's great.
Is that an audiobook, Elliot?
I love the library. You don't use the library?
It's $15. Put it on your iPad.
Okay.
Sure.
Make fun of me for the library.
No, you know, I can't. You know, but and the thing is, like, I think the key thing here is, like, I look at, and I don't like to see anybody fired. Jesus, it's a hard enough business as it is. And to be perfectly honest, I don't like to see anybody go through the meat grinder either. But, you know, I think for Gerard Gallant, as crappy as he probably felt last night and today, and Mike Kelly, I think in the long run, it's probably for the best because they clearly weren't enjoying being there, and it's just time. They'll land on their feet, and it's just time to move on.
And Glant has 2 years after this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did Mike get an extension at the same time? I don't even know whether that happened. Let's hope so.
And I have a little question on the side, just because the way it went down with no statement last night and then kind of a breezed-over statement, and Talon kind of touched on the guys and their services and their good guys. But what do you think? How do you think that affects their fan base? You know, when you don't get a statement out that night, like the respect for your fan base to keep them, let them know what's going on, and they have a small fan base. Like it's, you know, do you think they're happy about that? I don't know. I kind of get the feeling on Twitter also that there seems to be some upset season ticket holders and other people.
Well, I'm sure they were mad. You know, like look, you're a Panther fan. You've seen two playoff bursts in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You had a franchise record last year, 47 wins and 103 points. That first round series was a great series, even though it didn't work out the way the Panthers wanted it to. I mean, it was entertaining, that series against the Islanders. I mean, you're sitting here and you're saying, hey, like, this doesn't happen to us very often, and look, now this? So I can understand their confusion, and that's one thing the Panthers are going to have to do when they have their conference call at 1:30. And to be honest, they probably have to do more. Like, if I was the Panthers, I'd be having a robocall today to all my season ticket holders from the owner or something. Like, you have to do something special for your fans today to say, guys, this is what we're thinking and this is what we're doing. And because I agree with you, Colby, especially in a fan base like that,
yeah.
which is small but very loyal, you have to make those people feel very important. I would do something extra for them today.
I have no doubt that there's members of that organization that are watching and listening to this program right now. And that may just happen, Elliot. It just might. Because
maybe Kevin Spacey can make the call.
Yeah, maybe. We've gone a different direction.
Spacey well, in space.
Well done.
Hey, did Tom Rowe take his skates on the trip?
Yeah, that I have no idea.
It's not as big a deal as it used to be, but that would be an interesting one.
You know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, as for the statement last night, I'll bet you that they never thought that was going to get out last night. That they were thinking, they waited till he did his media, they let him know, and then they were going to go to Chicago and announce it today.
But it was out before they got in the air, before they were in the air.
That's because Kipper has his cockroaches everywhere.
So then you react.
Yeah.
And there was no reaction.
Yeah, I think they were, you know what, I think they were totally caught by surprise. That's what happens sometimes.
Michael Layton wins a game and the whole hockey world goes up in flames. Thanks for doing this, Elliot. We will chat again, but we will continue to watch you through Twitter and see what happens through this conference call this afternoon.
All right. Thanks very much, guys. Have a great day.
There you go. You too. The book, again, is Ben Lindbergh, The Only Rule, Our Wild Experiment, Building a New Kind of Baseball Team through Analytics. And this Florida Panthers team is the first NHL franchise that's all in. Every decision is, and coaching move, scouting move, personnel move is analytic based.
And they're really, like you said, like they're almost like the Moneyball. They're almost like Billy Bean. And it's funny, the way baseball's gone now, there was a firm that did a lot of the hiring of general managers, a lot of recommendations. So you get guys that are 30-something, Ivy League, and no connections to traditional baseball guys. And they've done good, bad, and different. And I wonder if this will start a trend or not.
Let's see. But yeah. You know what? If it works, good on them.
Yeah.
Because analytic people have taken enough heat over the years.
Last night was a war.
That they deserve something to go their way. And if it works, then everybody on the other side has to step up and admit that they were wrong. But we'll see which direction it goes.
I'm trying to learn analytics. I've opened a mind to it. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned so far with my mind and these numbers and these graphs and these charts, you still need, like, I don't think it's the be all and end all, which is...
The needle's moved enough where people appreciate that there's a place for it.
It's mm-hmm. certainly a tool.
It's absolutely a tool.
How you use it.
But can you
do the whole package on it?
Run your organization on that.
What about the smarts?
Like Stratomatic.
No, smarts and heart. Okay, those are two things you've got to judge yourself, mm-hmm. and they're huge. And they're big factors about it. But the other things, it certainly is a worthwhile tool.
We're going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs as they jump all over the Washington Capitals on the weekend. Major moment for Mitch Marner. And then we get to some hot players in the NHL. Mike Camilleri, Sidney Crosby, and Connor McDavid.
Camilleri's on
fire. And Craig Anderson, congratulations. One mm-hmm. of the three stars of the week. Toronto Maple Leafs chatter next on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, the NHL Network. And if you miss anything, like that name of the book, just check out the podcast on iTunes.
Jim and Sid. So funny, you might pee a little. Luckily, you can listen on the can. Subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It is Hockey Central noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet. In the Hockey Central studio with Darren Millard. Gord Stellick, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs and former Toronto Maple Leaf forward, Colby Armstrong with me today. Here's the Centennial Classic sweater. You want to hold that up, Colby?
Yeah, I want to hold it up.
Gordy, can you hand that to him? Be careful, though.
Welcome to the Toronto Maple Leafs, son. It's going to be great. Here you go.
Be careful. Anytime you were around that sweater, you kind of...
I know.
He ended up getting hurt.
Whoa! So, I'm worried
about you with
which
that sweater.
We got here? This one?
In that association with those colors. There's the Centennial
Looks
Classic
good.
Sweater. Hold it up over Gordy. Nice. You going to put it on, Gordy?
No.
Why?
I wasn't a player.
Oh.
I don't know if you know that. You don't have to Google that. I'll just tell you.
What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I think it's great.
I like this little splash of silver.
You like that, hey?
Yeah. The sparkles. You know what? I like
Plus,
that.
Plus, the kids can wear it out, and they won't get hit by anything.
Yeah, reflectors.
It's reflective.
Yeah, that's good.
When you're playing road hockey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope that works that way. You know, I never used to like the silver. I used to like blue, like two colors. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I haven't liked the third color being in, but I do agree with you. I like the little hint of silver.
Toronto Maple Leafs without the silver.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it.
Won on Saturday against the Washington Capitals. That was a surprising result in the way that they jumped out to the lead. Mitch Marner is now tied with Patrick Laine for the rookie scoring lead with 18 points. Bozak and JVR have been pointless in the three straight losses, but they also combined for 4 points. It was an interesting performance by Toronto over a team that we all assume is going to take a run in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and the old thing about, you know, Washington played Friday. They played a little bit early on Friday. And, you know, I get tired of that all the time, constantly, about one team being tired or not because it's gone the other way. I thought, do you not think it was at least best 20 minutes, maybe 40 minutes?
Yeah.
And my concern, if you're looking from a Leaf point of view, was only being up 1-0 because Braden Holtby was phenomenal in the first period. But there's Matt Martin. Marner, imagine Matt Martin getting on, going for a fourth-line shift, but Marner happens to still be on the ice, and he gets this pass going, where the hell did this come from? All of a sudden,
what's he doing way up there?
Wasn't this guy way down there? And all of a sudden, the puck is right here, and then he goes in, and he actually got a goal scorer's goal, and at the end, Nazem Kadri got the highlight reel goal. But I just thought it was a great team win. I did think there were 5 minutes, though, when the Washington Capitals showed why they won the President's Trophy last year. Like in the third period a bit when they turned it on. But I thought from a Leaf point of view, three consecutive losses, a nice home win before you go on the road.
It was, to me, you were waiting for that Washington push. And it came too late. But that was one where I think Toronto can gain so much confidence by locking something down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a good response, right, from what Babcock had kind of challenged the group and the group's mindset. You know, you see the Martin goal also. I love Marner, if you guys haven't realized that. But he's so smart. He's so good. But his like, energy, his young energy on the assist, he was going for a line change on that goal, and he's just losing his mind, scraps the line change, and goes to jump into the pile on the celebration. We're showing it here on the TV feed here. He's like, no, I'm in it. He loves it. He loves it, and he's having a good go right now. But, yeah, you see the group response against a quality team. And play the way they did. Like you said, that's got to be huge for a team's confidence.
Keeps
and that's walking. Everything.
Keeps blocking shots. They showed that. Yeah. How about, you know, a guy he challenged was Morgan Riley. Like Mike Babcock was a little bit after the three losses, a little kid's gloves off, and he responded with a great game, and Babcock said that. And the other one was Soshnikov. Mm-hmm. Gets moved up because of Nylander's injury to one of the top three lines. And, oh, my God, Babcock went over the top about him. So I don't know if he's long for the fourth line or not, but he had another
game. I wonder why he's been there, because he's good. He can make plays. He's smart. And he's got fire. Like, he's if you played against him, he's a guy you just, like, want to punch in the face. But he's involved, you know? He's got that. He's got an attitude.
They've been so healthy.
Yeah.
And so committed with these lines. It's very rare that you see so little shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
William Nylander is back today. Yeah. So he expect him to play on the road trip tomorrow against the Edmonton Oilers and Wednesday on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey against the Calgary Flames. Like, Brandon Leipzig is lighting up the American Hockey League right now, and there's no room for
him. How about Saturday during the day? They had a game at Air Canada Centre. The Toronto Marlies won 4-1 over Utica. Milan Mihalik, Colin Greening, Brooks Like, what is it, $12 million in contracts are playing for the Toronto Marlies on top of guys that will get a crack some point. I mean, they just will. But yeah, that's right now. I mean, you're talking about a 30th place team still, so let's not get carried away. But right now, that's the kind of young depth they have and still some old veteran guys that you expected one or two of them would have been with the Leafs this year.
They're not 30th.
Last year. I'm saying they were 30th place team last year.
You didn't say last year.
That's what I said. I said it the second time.
You got to say it, bud. You got to say it, bud. Come on.
There's people writing in right now all over your Twitter.
Nobody writes anymore.
All over your Twitter timeline. They're 21st right now. So we'll see what happens on the road, because this is a team with a massive discrepancy between home success and road failure.
Yeah, just one win, right? One road win. So you're right. That's the next level they got to try to get to. That's all I got to say.
Beautiful follow-up. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, just with, you know, I'll add to Marner. He's got three game winners.
Okay,
not the road.
Hold on.
I love
Marner.
I didn't know you could freelance.
What do you want me to add to? They got to win on the road. Yeah, you got to win on the road.
Well,
that's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
What else are you supposed to say?
Let's get a win on the road, struggling? Boys. Here we go. Yeah.
Why are they struggling?
because they got to win on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, good question.
What's the difference?
Good question.
The games are at Air Canada
young.
Center.
They're going into another team's rink, and they're not experienced with that. And
no, but you know,
what do you want to say?
You got like, a good
I always
point.
Wondered that.
Home and road is not that different anymore.
Yeah.
Like I always like Wendell Clark's line years ago about, you know, when he came in the league, so many rinks were distinctive.
Mm-hmm.
And now you put a guy and you blindfold him and drop him at center ice. And you say, what rink are we in? And he looks around and all 30 are the same.
Yeah. It's a stat I wonder also, like the power play penalty kill. Oh, they're number one in the league, but they're 20th on the road. Like why? I always wondered that. Why?
Because
how does
making,
that happen?
You're making the
it's
same
just,
changes that
it's
you
the
would
same
normally
thing.
As
it's
a
the
coach
same.
On that side. So, but we've got Mike Babcock as coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And his team has a great home record and a poor road record. To me, you've got one of the best coaches in the NHL, yet you've had this massive discrepancy. So
I think that right now for them, I think that's a good thing.
He should be able to make, if based on his resume, should be able to handle any matchups or any yeah. situations.
I think that's a good thing for them, though. Like you find a way to win at home. I think that's huge. I think this team's young enough, and I think they'll figure out a way to win on the road. You know, those matchup situations and going into another team's barn and what it feels like. But you can get that feeling of winning at home, which is huge. And then as you grow into the league together, you find a way to get that feeling and dig deep and win on the road. Like in Montreal the other night, a message was sent by Babcock, like our mindset has to be there. And that's something that will come. So, you master at home and then you work on the road.
The one thing he talked about, because
I liked your other answer
better. They've got
I don't even remember
the
what
next thing is the guys have to learn to give it every second they're on their ice. And mm-hmm. that's after the New Jersey game. That the reason they've been losing on the road is they've been blowing leads.
Mm-hmm.
They really have,
right,
in their case. And I know he was talking about it, about at Bobby Hastings' thing, right? Mm-hmm. For the 1,000th game, the trainer.
Oh, yeah.
Just
equipment manager.
I couldn't make it there. Yeah, Bobby Hastings. Way to go,
Toronto
buddy.
Maple Leafs, 1,000 games in the mm-hmm. National
yeah.
Hockey League.
So they had a nice little story.
And he turns 25 next week.
Yeah. Well,
I was going to say 12.
He looks like he looks like Mitch Marner. But that's the next point he just said about they've got to get now. Okay, it's all fun and everything, but when you're on every single second, you've got to be committed when you're on the ice. Mm-hmm. And that was reaction to blowing a 3-goal lead in New Jersey. And they've had a tendency to do that on the road more than home.
We'll see what happens. This week with the road trip through Western Canada, the Toronto Maple Leafs right now in the mix for a playoff spot, just on the outside looking in. And this is going to be an important road trip to stay in it going into the month of December. Sidney Crosby keeps it going. That's his 15th goal in 15 games. And we're going to track this like crazy this year to see if mm-hmm. somebody can score 50 goals.
What does he have, 15 and 16? Is that what it says?
I have it 15.
No, that's, I think he had to get 2 goals last game to get that. Am I right? I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Senior Matt. Senior, so it's 15 and 16. Thank you, Senior Matt.
I'm a stats guy.
Yeah, boy. And you're also, just a point of clarification, you are limited to one Mitch Marner comment per show.
Okay,
and it has to be a good one.
I appreciate the way he plays.
Because you have gone over the top.
I know. On other shows also, I've gone over the top on Mitch Marner.
But Sidney Crosby with 15 or 16, this will be fun.
He just has to score 2 goals next game to get on pace. No big deal. get it back on pace. And he doesn't want to come on the show, hey? Like, he's scared, hey?
Did you not reach out to him
this week? Told him. I think he's scared. I don't know. Maybe they're, I think
Did
they're, pra- I think they
think
practice.
Yeah.
But I told him I think he's scared.
Other teams practice too.
Yeah, he's definitely scared. For sure.
Mike Camilleri, 34-year-old in a young man's game.
Well, Mike Camilleri and Craig Anderson, you think about it, two difficult personal situations to deal with. And in his case, he was off for about 2 weeks, a situation with his daughter. So mm-hmm. I think everything's okay. I hope that. And then comes back and got 4 points that game against the Leafs. And you forget, like, he's the next echelon of the Sidney Crosbys. Like, there's a Sidney Crosbys and Connor McDavid that are in a whole different class. But then Mike Camilleri is just this good old man river that moves around a few teams. And then every now and then you go, wow, this guy's really, really good. And that's mm-hmm. the way he's played this past week.
And he's a pure shooter. And he gets in his one spot. He's got the down on the one knee, one timer. He's got that release from the offside that he had against Pittsburgh the other night. But he's a pure shooter. And just to watch him play right now, he gets 2 the other night and possibly cost him in Pittsburgh by missing the empty net. I think he had three cracks at it for the hat trick, and then they end up losing to Pittsburgh in the shootout. But since coming back, I think he's got 8 points in three games, been on absolute fire, and he's just creating chances all over the ice. But he's such a weapon with his release and his shot.
They have points in every home game this year. Remember when he got traded?
They're a sleeper. Are they a sleeper?
And they didn't let him keep the jersey.
In Boston, right?
Pierre Gauthier wouldn't let him keep his
Montreal jersey. They pulled him off the bench.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They wouldn't let him keep his
sweater? He asked to keep his Montreal Canadiens jersey, apparently, and Pierre Gauthier at the time said no. So at the end of the season, that was remedied by the Montreal Canadiens.
They could remedy something also. I didn't get my jersey when I played there. You know how at the end of the year you get like a jersey, a home or away, like they give you one? I didn't get one.
Do you want one of yours or somebody else's?
Like, I would like, if they could dig back into the...
Probably have it.
I don't know. It's probably no one. Yeah, they probably just have
it. Sure they do. They're not going to take the nameplate off and give it to somebody else.
Does anyone wear 20?
What the...
Well, you mean in Montreal? Or
Like now.
So you had to ask for your sweater? Usually?
No. I never even asked. I just, like, at the end of the year, it's
gone. Well, it's your own fault then.
I know, but like usually it's...
So when it doesn't arrive, you didn't think maybe I'll just reach out to them?
Yeah, I kind of did, but I did. I don't know.
What's a kind of?
I did it through another guy that was,
So that's
like
a no.
That's a definite no.
Yeah.
What were you scared?
If it's laying around though, boys, just throw her in the mail.
What did you think was going to happen if you asked? What were you afraid of?
I wasn't really afraid of anything. I just never like got around to it, but I always wanted it. Like I grew up a Habs fan, so
yeah.
I thought, you know, that was like a dream come true.
Oh, we got to make this happen.
That's the thing.
Zach Redmond.
Zach, if you just send your jersey over to me, just...
Well, you don't want it with his name bar, do you?
No, take the name off. But
maybe you can just ask the
I want the red one.
Maybe
too.
The GM can send him down or something like that.
Can I get greedy and ask for the color?
Sure.
The red one.
Okay. I'm going to put
this is getting nuts.
I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go through Gord, though.
Yeah.
Anything else you want?
Connor McDavid. It's bizarre. Connor McDavid's putting up points, but the Coyotes beat the Oilers in back-to-back games. There's... strange. And
how many games in a row?
Yeah, and Calgary's rescued their season with this road trip. Arizona Coyotes remedied their situation with back-to-back wins over the
21-0-4. 25 times.
Last record 25
in Arizona.
Meetings, Arizona's beat the Edmonton Oilers. That's got to be the biggest one, right, of two rivals?
There's Calgary and Anaheim.
Anaheim's close, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's insane, though. Would you think that, though?
I would think Edmonton, picking first overall for so many years, would be 21-0-4 against Los Angeles or Chicago.
Mike Smith was great last game. Mike Smith was real great.
Last two games he was.
Yeah.
Last two games.
He just went up to you, eh?
Yeah.
Jets end a five-game skid with Connor Hellebuyck with 42 saves. And Anthony Stolarz, former London Knight, won last night for the Philadelphia Flyers in his first game. So congratulations there. As we get ready for the last minute of play, Gord.
Okay.
In Hockey Central at... What's that?
Yeah, what do we do there?
Well, nothing really. Okay. I just wanted to say last minute of play.
1 minute remaining.
What did you...
I thought I had to prepare something. I was like, I didn't know about this 1 minute remaining
thing. What else does Colby want from former employers? It's going to be a hard time getting your Thrasher jersey. Yeah, Montreal is probably not a bad idea.
Yeah. The Montreal Canadiens are going to get a note from us. Just
really?
Saying, if it's there.
That's nice.
If it's there, then we would appreciate
it. You thought they got back already.
Yeah,
you're full of yourself.
I did. Well, I know.
Looking at your...
I know the Florida Panthers are watching and listening.
Jerv might be mad that the equipment trainer there, been there for years. He might be like, what the heck? Why are you throwing me under the bus? But...
He may get a raise when they hear they didn't give him the jersey. What are you talking about? It could work both ways.
Come on, Berge.
What are they going to do with it?
Yeah, what's it doing there?
It's the back in the team store with dust on it.
I know. It's probably up in Therrien's office.
Game-worn sweaters.
It's up in Michelle Therrien's coach's office.
They're going back. What NHL legend named Armstrong played for the...
Remember when things were bad?
Calgary against the New York Islanders tonight in Sportsnet West. Calgary wrapping up that road trip. Key game there. Mm-hmm. Playing back-to-back. And Dallas against the St. Louis Blues on Sportsnet and the NHL Network at 8 o'clock. Colby Armstrong, part of both of those broadcasts. 20 seconds to go, 15.
Dallas going
to
get it going, right? Like that division, someone's got to get it going.
Winnipeg.
You think so?
Thanks to Elliot Friedman for joining us in a really
hope his cough
strange
gets
situation.
Better.
Yeah, so alive. By Wednesday, anyway.
Better for each.